Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by a ghost that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my fears. Say to me, son, stop fighting the fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away. Been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret.
Listen to what he says.
But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I'm not who I used to be.
Would you pray with me today? God, we're so thankful that we can say, I'm not who I used to be. God, for all of us that follow you, we thank you that that is our story, that you took us from what we were, dead in our sin and our shame, embarrassed of what we had done. And instead, you've given us new life. You've given us a new way forward, a bright hope and future. So God, we in gratitude simply say thank you. Thank you for rewriting our stories and for changing us. And maybe if there's someone here today who is watching online and they're dealing with the weight of things in their life that they know it's not, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. Things they've done or participated in that are still ongoing in their life. They know they need a change. God, may they hear this prayer and offer prayer of their own, not from a pastor on a stage or a screen, but maybe from their own heart to say, God, could you do that in my life? Could you redeem me to take what was broken and make it beautiful instead? And God, as we come to you and worship together, our hope and prayer is that you'd continue to redeem us, continue to rewrite our stories as your people, people that you have brought from death to life who love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. In these next few moments, as we hear your word through Pastor Brian, I pray that you would speak to us what we need to hear today, that would be encouraged, that we would hear hope, but God, ultimately, that we would encounter you. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Let's say thank you to our praise band. Songs for the Road, and it's my song today, and the one you just heard is the song that I chose, I Am Redeemed. It's one of my favorite songs. It is also the story of my life. And so I'm going to do a couple of things today. One, I want to guide us into this season of Thanksgiving. I don't want us to miss the opportunities that are available to us in the next few days to recalibrate and to think about who we are, what God has done, and what's available to us. We're going to talk through a little bit of this song, and then I'm going to prepare us for what's coming in the next few weeks as we move into Christmas. So I'm going to do it quick, but I'm going to do it. You know that I have been gone. My daughter got married, and I took some time off and was in Indianapolis around the wedding. I was given a mission, and my mission was to go to Target and find some masks. I needed to buy several, and so Target was the closest store, so I went in, and I went to the pharmacy, and I began to look for masks, and there weren't any. I thought, how can this be? There's not been a run on them lately or anything like that. And so finally, I went to the pharmacist, and I said, I'm trying to buy some masks. And he said to me, what kind of mask are you trying to buy? And I thought that was a trick question. Just the kind that goes over your face, you know? And he said, no, are you trying for children or for adults? And I said, for adults. And he said, male or female? And I said, does it matter? And he said, yes, because our masks are no longer in pharmacy. They are in menswear and womenswear. What has become something, I thought masks were just gonna be for if you're doing a construction project or you're spray painting the car in the garage, or you know, you're going into the operating room. But so much has changed. It has become, our culture has shifted in a way that what in my mind was something that was just temporary for a medical condition now becomes part of who we are, and it needs to match your shirt, apparently. Our world has changed and is continuing to change at a rate we have never known before. That is not news to you, I know that. And the truth is, prior to 2020, that was still true. There were so many things that were happening, and now in 2020, we recognize that there are changes. These aren't adaptations that we make that we'll snap back from. There is much that is changing around us, and that can be very disturbing and upsetting and frightening and all of those things, particularly that when we live in an age when while the political unrest continues to ramp up and go on and we're dealing with COVID and all of that, life still happens. So the issues, it's not like that all of our other issues went away, and I came here to lay a groundwork for us today. And just to remind us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you go back through the history of this great church, over more than 100 years, you'll see difficulty and trial and change and upset and all of those things. But you will find in our history that Jesus was the same. He still moved in people's lives. He still provided people what they needed at the crossroad of life. And he has provided that for us. We are not on the defensive here. We believe that God has called us to mission, that he has called us to create environments and to share the story of Jesus in a way so that that song, Redeemed, next Christmas is going to be somebody's song and they don't even know it yet because of the power of the gospel. And so wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with today, I want to give you something that is both a tool and a weapon available to every one of us in this fight that can directly, sometimes immediately, make a positive impact. This is something for you to engage, and not very often have you heard me from this position or this pulpit preaching about something that was going to make an immediate impact. A lot of life rarely works that way, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest struggle that we will face is a struggle within ourselves. And if we can get a hold of the power of this tool, it will change our moment, our present. It will move, I promise you. Now, I say that recognizing that 2020 has hit people in different degrees. There are some of us who are just frustrated because we have to wear a mask and not knowing what to believe and upset at political outcomes and all of those kinds of things, and it just has created a frustration in us. And that's one level of impact. But I recognize that I am speaking to some people today, and you're watching from your living room, or you're watching through a computer, or maybe you're in the house, and it's laughable for you to hear people complain about those things because you have lost a loved one. Your dream, a business maybe that you gave yourself to, is crumbling right out from underneath you. Your income was lost. You're facing difficulty, and we hear about it every single week, the difficulties that people face. And so I don't want you to think that I'm not aware of the fact that what I'm going to give you, and it's not a silver bullet, but boy, it is a tool that can help. And I'm aware of the fact that you may scream back at the screen or feel in your heart here, you don't understand how bad it is. And the truth is, I may not. I've lived long enough to have some of my own hurts and mysteries, but you may be going through something that I don't understand. But I want you to remember something. There's a story in the Old Testament of a king named Nebuchadnezzar who began to have dreams. And the dreams horrified him and terrified him and brought him to a point where he called up a young man named Daniel and said, Daniel, I've heard that you can help me interpret these dreams and what they mean. And Daniel's response to the king is my response to you. Daniel said, there's no one who can interpret all that for you. I can't do it. There's nobody who can do it. But there is a God in heaven who does. And whatever the burden you're carrying today, whatever the weight that you're carrying, however heavy the impact, there is a God in heaven who has provided for you, and I believe, a tool even for this time, regardless of the weight. You see, truth is still truth even when it doesn't feel like it. Truth is still truth. So, here's the tool that I'm going to ask you to engage, the gear, and I'm going to say this again, the gear that I'm going to ask you to shift into if you feel like you're stuck in something. From Psalm 9, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. And the tool, the weapon, is gratitude. And it comes as a result of a decision. And you'll find that the psalmist often shifts gears to a point where it's regardless of what's going on, I will. there is an intentional decision here that instead of complaining about what I have lost, or even to a point lamenting is a righteous thing to do, it's okay to do that, but we also have to remember that there's a decision that we can make that will help us begin to get to gratitude. Gratitude, the thankful appreciation for what you have, for what you have received, tangible or intangible, present or past tense. Gratitude will shift and will change your life. Forbes magazine had a series of articles that I ran across a couple months ago thinking about this. 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. This is not a religious publication. This is a series of studies, and here's what they say. They say gratitude will open new relationships. And if you think about it, just holding a door, saying thank you to someone often causes a conversation to happen. Reaching out and saying, hey, I saw what you did and thank you for that, it allows new relationships. Gratitude will improve physical health, they said. Because when you're grateful, you have a tendency to want to take better care of the things that you have. Gratitude will reduce toxic emotions. I've never met anybody who was filled with gratitude who was greedy. I mean, you may be out there, but I've never met them. I've never met anybody who was just full of bitterness who was grateful. I've never met someone who was hateful, who was grateful. Gratitude will reduce toxicity in your spirit, and it's a shift that you can make. It enhances empathy and reduces aggression. It's humbling when you are grateful. It improves sleep, the scientists tell us. Improves self-esteem and increases mental strength. It goes on, and there were several studies. I just tracked a few of them from 2011, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17 that all came together, and they listed like 28 benefits. Gratitude, and this is not a sermon here. This is psychological data. It will improve your emotional life. It will improve your social life. I mean, someone who's complaining all the time is not someone who necessarily everybody can be around. It will improve your personality health. It will impact your career and your physical health, all of those things. One writer said, practicing gratitude brings the clarity and courage needed for this moment in life. And that was September of 2020. At the end of everything, to be able to say, I am choosing gratitude. If you've read the Psalms, I can remember as a new Christian, I set out to read the Psalms, thinking that all of the Psalms were going to be like Psalm 23. Right? Just wonderful writing of encouragement and proclamation of how great God is. And you don't read very far before you realize that the Psalms are full of lament and difficulty and trial. I went through and I counted 78 times that in the midst of everything that was going on, and sometimes good things were going on, but often terrible things were going on for the writer, where they would begin a sentence with, I will. And it would lead into give thanks, praise. One of the statements that is made more than one time is, I will sacrifice with joy, with gratitude. Now think about that. I will sacrifice with gratitude. We don't bring physical sacrifices and any of that kind of thing. But when we're called on to sacrifice, and we are, the psalmist says, I'll give that up. I'll lay that down. That's okay. And I'll do it with gratitude because of what God has done for me. Gratitude is a discipline, an act of the will, a direction, a leaning, a decision, a quest. Gratitude is a gear that we need to shift into and allow God to help us. And sometimes it takes us a while. I've used this illustration before, but repetition is the key to learning. So we used to have a dog named Bo, and Bo never became anything more than a puppy, and he was huge. He was over 100 pounds, really, really tall. And if you left the room to go to the bathroom and came back, Bo, it was Christmas for Bo. It was just like, I can't believe you're here. every single time. He would just be like jumping around. And so Lindy trained him with a phrase that helped us and helped him. She would say, "Bo, go to your place." And he would go to his little bed and he would sit down and his little heart would, you know, he'd just be right there, but he would go to his place. Here's why, what I've discovered about Brian. That when things get tough, when things get excitable, when things begin to spin, when there's all kinds of things happening, I need to get to my place. And my place is gratitude. I'm not here because I earned anything. I haven't had the life that I have had because I earned it. I'm not here. I am here by the grace of God. And the grace and love of God has caused me to never get too far away from my place, which is gratitude for the times in which I've lived, for what I've experienced. It's this decision, but it's also sometimes a hopeful prayer and even can be part of a lament. I experienced probably one of the most amazing moments of gratitude that I've ever experienced in the last couple of weeks. I went for my daughter's wedding. I kind of went off the grid for a while, and I was teasing Galen and Phil. I said, you know, when I left, you guys are supposed to take care of COVID. We're going to get that done. When I come back, everything's going to be fine. And they didn't take care of any of that. And so, but it just kept, but I was off the grid, but I did get one phone call that I responded to. And it was from my friend Paul. And Paul had first attended C1 the first time we were open in COVID. It was that first Sunday when we had Serato and there was a video in Serato and we were live in here and we had a reopening team that had met and talked about how we should reopen and what we should reopen and how we were going to do it. And it was a moment. And he came with one of our guys named Dean Silver. Dean has been a part of C1 for a long time. And Paul was just an incredibly smart guy, brilliant guy, beautiful family. He was a criminalist with the post office and had all kinds of interesting stories to tell. Hyper successful, beautiful wife, beautiful kids, but he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And he began to look for a person of faith that he could talk to. And he remembered that he and Dean had coached together like 8 or 10 years ago, maybe. And he remembered that Dean was a man of faith and he called him. Let me tell you something, folks. That's a powerful statement. When we can live our lives in a way that can cause someone who maybe we just rub shoulders with for a while, but when they look back and they move back because they're looking for somebody, they had a conversation on the phone and Paul said, I want to come to church and I'll meet you there Sunday. And so they did, and Pastor Galen was preaching. And Paul was in Serato with Dean watching, and he connected immediately with Pastor Galen, and the message made sense to him. It made me so grateful that we're a church who focuses and prepares ourselves to be ready when people walk in who may not have the background, may not have the understanding. This is anything but a closed group, man. We are ready. And we were, and he connected with Galen's message. And at the end of the message, he marked that box about starting a relationship with Jesus. And Dean texted me, and I went back there, and I met him in Serato, and we talked for a minute. And then we got together, and we prayed, and we did a couple of Bible study things, and Dean began to work with him. And Paul's testimony from that day forward was that the peace of God had filled him. Was that he had a peace that he had never experienced before, and it began to flow through his home. And he began to, every time I was with him, he talked about just his relationship with his wife, how sweet it was and what God was doing. But what God wasn't doing was physically healing him. And things went from bad to worse. But Paul, any moment that he could get here, he would mask himself up and be here. Always so grateful. When I saw the missed call, I called him back. And he said, Pastor Brian, essentially, he said, I'm calling to say goodbye. It's just not going well. And I want you to know I love you, and I'm so grateful for you and the church and what you guys have done. I'm thankful for everything. I can't. And then he just began to go back. I've had it for the last 7 months. I've had this peace. It was unbelievable. And I couldn't imagine. And I didn't know how to respond other than to thank him and pray with him. And within about 48 hours, Paul went to be with Jesus. A gratitude that fills up that moment. What a powerful, what an incredible thing to recognize that every single follower of Jesus has a reason for gratitude, because we have been redeemed. And for some of us, it may be the last 7 months of our life. For others of us, it may be even closer than that. But for all of us, we are a people whose God has provided a pathway of redemption for our life. And we should be grateful. Gratitude is a weapon against self-pity. Gratitude is a discipline, a decision. It requires us to do God's math in our life. Gratitude requires associating value with what remains, not focusing on what's gone. Gratitude humbles the heart, refocuses the head, moves the feet, informs the fingers, filters the ears, and powers the tongue. God, forgive us for some of the ways that we respond and lash out when we should be people of gratitude. Gratitude slows us down. It'll change our direction. It'll quiet our ego. And you know, here's the thing I've learned about me. Maybe you're different. But I have to intentionally shift gears sometimes, because there is no automatic transmission in my heart. You know what happens if an engine doesn't shift? It just starts whining really, really loud, literally. If you're in that gear and you need to shift and you don't, be like, right? And that can happen to me, and it can happen to us. But as followers of Jesus, what will redirect us is if we will shift into that gear of gratitude, because every follower of Jesus has a reason to be grateful. It was November 23rd, 1989, when over the previous few weeks, it was the Sunday, literally, before Thanksgiving in 1989. And I was at Danville Southside Church of the Nazarene. My wife and I had kind of been attending, and I had was kind of wrestling and trying to figure out, and you know my story, you know that life was a mess. I went forward at the end of a service and made a decision like so many have done here. Made a decision to accept Christ as my Lord and to just lay everything down, because I didn't have anything to offer. There wasn't like I was bargaining with God. And my prayer wasn't a great prayer of faith that Sunday. There were people of great faith praying around me, but my prayer was, God, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to come real close to doing this verbatim. God, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I think. But if you're there, I need you. And I surrender everything to you. I didn't come to Jesus because I loved him. Uh-uh. I didn't come to God because I had climbed some spiritual pathway. I came to God searching and saying, God, if there's any way. And God began to work in my life. And this song, and it seemed like that all I could see was a struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. There's a great story from 9/11, Pastor Matthew pointed me to the story and gave me a book on, it's an interesting book called The Only Plane in the Sky. And it's an oral account of all of the events of 9/11. And in there is a story of a rescue worker near the end of the first day that stumbles after the second tower has fallen and is just walking down the street coated with that soot that literally just covered the city. And he stumbled into St. Paul's Church, and he couldn't see, and he said, I went up by the altar, I knew I was there, and I just fell down, and I began to try to get it out of my eyes and my mouth, and I reached up, and there was water, and so I grabbed the water out of this basin and began to try to get it off of my face. I didn't know it was the holy water. and I needed to rub, so I grabbed some linens that were there, and these were part of the vestments and everything, and I rubbed my face, and I finally could see, and there was this huge mess, and the priest. And I said, "Father, I am so sorry. I didn't know what this was." And he said, "Don't be sorry, because that's exactly what these things need to be used for." Wow, that was me, stumbling into Southside Church of the Nazarene, but leaving the church that day saying, "I am redeemed. You set me free." So life begins. So now we shake off the heavy chains. Now we begin the process of wiping away the stain and continually, day to day, being reminded I'm not who I used to be. And from that day forward, I made mistakes and I fell down, and there was a few times I got lost, and God brought me back, and the body of Christ was there for me to make sure that when I needed some water, I had it. When I needed some help, I had it. Now listen, whatever else happens in my life, and things have happened and things will happen. And so I say this, I'm not knocking on wood here. I say this knowing that difficult days will come because we're human. But whatever else happens, nothing can happen that will take away the joy that I have experienced over all of these years. Because whatever else happens, I am redeemed. When the chains come, I'll shake them off. When the stains come, I'll ask for God to cleanse and to move. I went home that day. Lindy and I began our journey together and found our way through. And I, over the last 31 years, I've raised my children. I would never have been able to do that. I've been able to see family, and I would never have been able to do that. I found purpose and direction in all of that. And for me, there was a moment on November 6, 2020 that represented both a culmination of the gratitude that I had in my heart and also my longing for you. And you were in my heart that day. It was the day of my daughter's wedding. And Natalie is our youngest, and I had about 25 pictures I was going to show you right here, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to show you any pictures. She's a police officer in Plainfield, and Natalie has just been, I mean, just a joy. My boys were awesome. You guys are cool. Great. Natalie was awesomer just because it was a daddy-daughter thing, right? And I mean, And I'm so proud of her. So leading up to the wedding, people were saying to me, "Oh, that's going to be really hard for you. I bet, you know, there's going to be a lot of emotion involved." And the truth is, Natalie was a little bit in her late 20s, and so she's kind of already left home. She's already on her own. I did a lot of that grieving. It's like she was 18 or 19. I did a lot of that kind of season-changing stuff before, and I just wasn't feeling particularly anything. And so people said, "Oh, you're going to break down and cry." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I don't think so. I've done a lot of weddings." And they're like, "Oh," and then I begin to feel bad, like maybe I should muster up some tears or something because I'm supposed to feel, but I didn't. It was just like, I love my son-in-law. I trust him. He's a good man, a solid guy. Natalie made a deal with Natalie when she was 13 or 14. And because she'd said when she was 8 or 9, "I'm never going to get married." Matter of fact, I have it in writing. She said, "Boys are gross. I'll never get married." But I can remember this conversation. I said, when she was 13 or 14, I don't know, what, young, I said, "Natalie, let's make a deal. You can get married when you find somebody who loves you as much as I do." And she did. And so I just went. And then there was this moment as we get ready to walk down the aisle. I started to put my arm out so she could, you know, do the thing. And I said, "Natalie, do you want to do that? Because we never walk like that. Or can we just hold hands?" And she said, "Let's hold hands." And she was beautiful, and I took her hand, and oh man, I began to remember all the times that we'd held hands. Remember that in the living room the first time, that little hand went around a finger. She took those first steps, and I'm like, "Okay, it's cool." And there was such peace, and we walked down, and I kissed her hand, and she began to weep, and I'm like, "Okay." So I go up. I turn to my son-in-law, and I begin, "Jonathan, will you have this woman t- to be your wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance and holy state of matrimony, et cetera, et cetera. If so, answer, I will. He said, I will. Then I looked at Natalie and I said, Natalie, and every moment in our life that I had asked her a question was like boom, 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 boom. Natalie, what do you want for your birthday? Natalie, are you scared? Natalie, what's kindergarten like? Do you like your teacher? Natalie, do you want to go for a walk and take Bentley? Natalie, do you want to go for ice cream? Natalie, what do you want for Christmas? Natalie, are you going to go out for volleyball? Natalie, you're in the eighth grade. What's that like? Natalie, you're going to go to Europe. I don't know about that. It's going to be a tough. Natalie, you're going to go to college. Natalie, will you have this man to be your wedded husband? I can't even, the emotion that hit me in that moment, I didn't like cry. I was just like, wow, this is the grace of God. Because if not for November 23rd, 1989, none of that could have ever happened. And it was grace. But here's where you come in. I want that kind of peace and love for every single family here. For those of you who have young children, I want you to experience that someday. That moment when it's just like, oh, wow, incredible. And we weren't even close to being a perfect family. My kids will tell you about it. There were all kinds of problems. But the grace of God will deliver. It will get us through when we give our lives and our hearts to Him. And for those of you who have adult children and there's issues going on, I want that for you too. Why? Because He redeems us and He redeems moments and whatever else is happening. This Christmas, we are focused on bringing Christmas home, on the light of Jesus shining in your home. We're not going to miss it. We're shifting into gratitude right now. But I'm going to tell you something. If this is your day, if you've got business to do with God, and it may be your first time or it may be the 100th time that you have needed to recommit and you just need to deal with some stuff, today can be the day. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them, and He will redeem us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just like the church was there for me in 1989, the church is here for you in 2020. And we will walk with you and we'll help you. And for all of us who are believers, can we lean toward gratitude this Thanksgiving? What will you do with your gratitude? What will it look like? Will it look like sacrifice? Because it should. Will it look like generosity? Will it look like kindness? Will it look like unconditional love? What does gratitude look like on you? I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to pray with me. And I'd like you to shift gears if it's time to do that, to shift into gratitude and ask God just to remind you over and over of all that He has done, that you may celebrate the joy of your own salvation. But then as a church, I'm also going to pray that as we get ready to experience the holidays this year, we always take the last few moments of this service and let you know what our theme is going to be, because you're going to be with folks this week, and we want to prepare you to invite. We want you to begin to pray your heart. Advent begins next week, and it's on. It is on. There's nothing that's going to wipe that out. Our worship planning team has been incredibly prepared, but I just want you to know that as we talk about home for Christmas, what we're talking about is not just that we're in the house, but that Christmas will come home. Because on November 23rd, 1989, Christmas came home to me, and it changed everything, and it can change your life too. Let's pray, and then we'll move into it. Lord, where there is someone who may be really close to where I was all those years ago, I pray, Lord, that they too would call upon You out of a transparent, sincere heart, that they would stand. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive them. 1 John 1:9, Lord, and that's the rock that we stand on today, believing that you're a God who redeems. You redeem me, you redeem my friend Paul, you redeem so many who are watching online and who are in this room. And help us to be a people of gratitude, who have shifted a gear, who, like the psalmist, will say, I will. Not I'm going to try or if I feel, but I will recount the things that you have done and that you have given. And trust in you, even in moments when we can't see you. And celebrate, once again, the joy of redemption that is ours. And where there's someone who needs to take that step, in the name of Jesus, that I pray that they will pray something like what I prayed and what Paul prayed, and that you, and that they will just ask you to forgive them and to come into their life according to your word. Father, my prayer is that you would bring Christmas home this year at C1, that you would bring healing to relationships, that you would bring peace to conflict, that you would bring joy, and not a single moment would be missed, but embraced. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.